As we start our lesson today, let's open our Bibles to John 3:16 and let's read 3:16 through 18 today as we start this lesson. And let's read together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now I'm going to preface the scriptures today and the things that God has put in my heart is that God is speaking some things and unfolding to this church things that he desires to accomplish here in this earth, but it's going to be through us. It's going to be through his body. It's going to be through his hands. And we're going to have to speak what he says. And we're going to have to act what he says act. And do what he says do. And the things that I shared in a previous message is that he's going to put us in places that are impossible to do. They are not possible in the natural. But with God, all things are possible. And so he's going to put us in situations that in the natural, from the natural standpoint, we can't solve them. You don't have enough money to get it. You don't have enough influence to make it happen. You don't have enough wherewithal to do it. But he's going to give us supernatural abilities, as we heard this morning by the Holy Ghost, supernatural ideas, supernatural influence that is going to accomplish supernatural things that God wants to accomplish now. And so that's the thing that God has put in my heart, that we've been hearing a lot of things by the Holy Ghost on the unity of God and the unity of the church and the love of God and the grace of God. And he desires to give us divine influence, which is the grace of God. He desires to anoint us to carry out these desires of God. And there's a great outpouring that is about ready to happen. We've heard through words that the Spirit of the Lord is about ready to move in unprecedented way through the church and through those who are yielded. And we've heard Friday night, yes, Lord, I want more. I want more of your anointing. I want more of your power. I want more. But we're going to have to consecrate ourselves and say yes. And part of that yes is listening and obeying and also understanding a process. And that was a word that really ministered to me Friday night when Evangelist Tammy came out and said, this is the process. This is a process. And so you can see a process in the Word of God that will help us. And that word helped me, the word process. So I'd like you to turn to John 14, if you would, and let's take a look at what Jesus is saying here in verse 10. John 14 and verse 10. He said, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me?" Well, he rattled some cages at that point. "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." That hasn't changed. That process is still the same. Jesus If you're born again, He lives in you. And He who goes to the Father, He is still doing the works. And the words that we speak are not our own. They're words from heaven. So we can see here, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. He was saying, what was Jesus saying? I didn't make up these words. I didn't think them up. I didn't make them up, and I can do nothing of myself. I depend on the Father. That process has not changed. That process is still the same. If we're going to be effective, we're going to have to speak what He says. We're going to have to do what He does and what we see Him do. And when we do, when we yield to Him and we depend on Him, He will do the works. Now that word, when you look it up in the Greek, that word works means that which one undertakes to do. Who's doing the work? The Father. He is undertaking anything accomplished by hand or art or industry or mind. The Father is doing the works. Now stay with me here today and don't check out, but think about where and some of the assignments that God is now revealing. Because He's getting this body to a place where we can now get additional revelation, additional light, and begin to hook on to that and begin to release words that in the natural they may seem foolish, but not to us. They're not foolish to us because we understand that it's outside of our realm of ability to make it happen. Amen. We can say, God said, and we're going to do that. He began to speak and say to me 6-7 years ago, begin to speak to the Nanuet Mall. That's before they announced that they were going to disband it and take it apart. And I thought initially it was foolish. Because I said, what do we need a mall for? We got a whole lot of room in here. But God sees not what we see. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And His ways, thank God, are much higher than our ways. And so I said, you know what? That was the Holy Ghost. And I may not understand it, but I'm going to release the words. And I began to, day after day, week after week, year after year. He didn't say anything else. He just said, say that. So July of this year, when I was quiet, He said, the first building that you're going to take is the Sears building. And I got excited. I said, because during that time, you know, we're natural human beings. My mind is thinking, how are we going to take that? You know, how do you eat the whole thing? How are you going to take all of that? That's a big piece of property. But I know with Him it's possible. But you're still, in your natural mind, you're trying to figure it out, aren't you? And He said, the first building you're going to take is the Sears building. So I said, oh, okay, that's manageable. We can bite that off. But then as I was walking through, that was July. In December, as I was walking through that property, He said, I am going to give you this property as a spoil. And I went, ooh, a spoil. a spoil. And my mind said, ooh, a spoil. That means we don't have to spend a dime. We just pick up the spoil. And then I began to hear the first building that you're going to take spoil. Take spoil. God is going to do something phenomenal that you can't, you ain't got enough money. You don't have enough influence. And it's going to take releasing words at His command to get this done. And we need to be in unity and in agreement and not sit there and go, how are they going to do that? How are we going to do that? They have a vernacular. Shut up. Just say what He says. And you will live and exist in the supernatural.
All right.
When you do. See, you want to try to figure out stuff in your own personal life and not release the words which empowers you to do it.
Amen.
You don't have to do it. The command empowers you to do it.
Amen.
And so He is going to empower us to have that.
Amen.
And I remember the Holy Ghost gave some words to Pastor Greg, and I don't remember, it was recently, that he said something to the effect, the Holy Ghost said that the town is, and the town, somebody is going to give us that Sears building.
Right.
They're just going to give it to us.
Right.
And I believe that. How it comes to pass, we don't have to figure it out. All we have to do, there was words that were spoken by Kenneth Copeland in 85 that said, this is a lighthouse. And I'm not paraphrasing, I'm pulling some things out, he said. And he said, this is a mighty church. And he said, I will raise this church up like that church in Seoul, Korea, if you'll let me. And he also said, don't seek the largest church, just seek me. Fall in love with me. Seek Jesus. Because when we do, we'll be in unity. We'll speak the words that He speaks and says, and we'll love on people. And that's what He's looking for. He has in mind to reach a large people. Let's turn over to Philippians. You're familiar with this scripture. He said, the words that I speak are not my own. I like the Amplified. It says, but the Father who lives continually in me does the works, or His works, His own miracles and deeds of power. And I like the Message Bible. It says, the Father who resides in me crafts each word into a divine act. That's what they are. They're supernatural. Philippians chapter 2, what does this scripture say? It says, in verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which what? Which was also in Christ Jesus. The words that He spoke were not His own. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. When you read this, in the Message translation. Let me read verse 7. It says, well, let me read this in the Message. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to climb to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity. He set aside his divine privileges. That process is still the same. He set aside his privileges. So the things that he did here in the earth, he didn't do as the Son of God. He set aside his divine privileges and he did them as a man.
Well.
Anointed by the Holy Ghost. So are you.
Amen.
So are you. You are born again. You have the same nature as your Father God. And you have the same, you are an heir of God, and what? A joint heir with who? Christ. You have the same makeup, the same DNA as God. The words that he spoke, Jesus, were not his own, but the Father in him doeth the works. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. You're going to have to let that be your mind. You've got to let it be. So that means all of the miracles, all that he accomplished, he did as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. Because he set aside his divine privileges. Let me read this. Let's go to Genesis 1 for a moment. This is the process. The Father does the work, and that cannot change. He's going to do the work through us, and it is going to be phenomenal. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the what? The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then what? And God said, let there be light. And what? And there was light. Who was brooding? Let me read it out of the Amplified. In the beginning, God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and an empty waste. And darkness was upon the face of the very great deep. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. What was he doing? He was hovering. He was hovering. The Spirit of God is hovering here. He's hovering. He's hovering. He's waiting. He's waiting for what? The command. And look what happened here. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. The Spirit of God was moving and hovering, but nothing happened until the command was given. Light be, and light was. There's the process. The Father spoke, and the Spirit of God created. You can't do it by yourself. You've got to get quiet and hear the word of the Lord, and then release the words as He directs you to. And when you do, who is going to move? The Spirit of God. Let's turn to Luke. Let's go over to the book of Luke. You can see these throughout Scripture. Luke chapter 1. Let's look at verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. This is the angel Gabriel. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this in the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, she said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Thy word, the Father's word. And the angel departed. When she released those words, the Holy Ghost moved. But he hovered and brooded until the word of the Lord was spoken, and she said, okay, be it unto me. And he said, that holy thing which shall be born unto thee shall be the Son of God. Let's go over to John 1:1 just for a second. Trying to just get these thoughts across here. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now look, verse 3. All things were made by Him, right? And without Him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by the Word, and without the Word was not anything made. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let me read this out of the the New Living, it says, the Word became a human being and full of grace and truth lived among us. The complete Jewish Bible. The Word became a human being and lived with us. The Worrell's translation, when it says became flesh, it means to put on a human body. The Word put on a human body. Think about this. You and I were born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed of what? The Word. The Word. We were born of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Which liveth and abideth forever. The moment that you said, Jesus, come into my heart, be it unto me, the Spirit of God moved. He moved. He moved and changed you. And that Holy Spirit, your spirit is now holy. Your spirit is just as holy as God and His Spirit. You have the same DNA. The minute you spoke, what does the Scripture say in 10:10? Romans 10:10. It says, you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. A man believes unto righteousness. And confession is made unto or resulting in salvation. Is that not true?
Yes.
2 Corinthians, or I'm thinking of another scripture. What does 2 Corinthians 5:17 say? Any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I like verse 21 because at the end of that it says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be what? Made the righteousness of God in him. Same process. The Spirit of God responded to our yes, to our command, when we released those words. So every seed holds within it its own destiny. Every seed does. Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. We are His workmanship.
All right.
So let's go back to John. Let's go back to John 14 for a moment. Let's do that. Let's hook up here. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, who's speaking? Jesus. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. The works that Jesus did as a man. The same works you shall do also. So what's the excuse? And greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Because of what? The name. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So here's the question you may ask. Well, I believed on him. So then how can I ever do the works, much less greater works? How am I going to do that? With the same process. The same process. You get the word of the Lord, you speak it, and the Holy Ghost that hovers will create it.
Yes.
Same process. Nothing different. Same process. He said, the works that I do, what did Jesus do? Same thing. The words that he spoke, he said, they're not my own. I don't speak on myself. The Father speaks. And I speak what he says. And the Holy Ghost creates and brings to pass. So how are you going to do it? When Jesus said, the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask, that word means demand or require, in my name, he's given you authority. You are his workmanship. Now let's take a moment. Let's take, just keep your finger there and flip over to Ephesians. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 3 for a second. Flip over there for a second. Ephesians chapter 3. See, what did he say? You get there? When Jesus said, whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, now of whom the whole family, the whole family, in heaven and earth is named. That's your name. Your name is the name. What are you called? Jesus. That's your name. In his name, he will do it. The body is not named different than the head. You are his workmanship. You're created in Christ Jesus. And this means, think about this, the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Not just part of the family. The whole family. That's not just the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. It is the whole family. is named. And what did he say in Philippians? Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. See, sin consciousness, traditions are going to railroad that. Because you'll say, well, how could I be that? How could I ever measure up? You can't. But in Christ, you're just like Him. You've got to think these thoughts by faith. Let's go to Acts. Well, I'll read this. You already know this scripture. Acts 4:12. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. When Jesus... Well, let me go another place. Let me just go to Hebrews for a second. Hebrews chapter 1 says in verse 2, hath in these last days appointed unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of some things. It says all things, by whom also He made the worlds. He's the heir. I am the what? Joint heir of all things. Let's go over to Colossians for a minute. Better yet, hold your finger there, Colossians 3. Colossians 2, we're going to go there. I want you to just go to Matthew real quick. Matthew 4. Matthew chapter 4, real quick. And we're going to see here. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, and the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. But what did he say? The devil showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. When you look up that word kingdoms in the Greek, it means, it says, royal power, dominion, and rule. And it also says, not to be confused with an actual kingdom, but rather the right or authority to rule over a kingdom. Now let's go to Colossians. What did the writer say here in chapter 2? Jesus did what? And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He's been disarmed of His rulership. He's been disarmed of His authority in this earth. In the name. And the greater works we're going to do in His name. We're going to take anything that the devil has overlord over. He's stolen from us. He's taken from us unlawfully. And Jesus is saying, go and get it back. Go and take it back. If He's ruling in your body, the Word of the Lord says, Himself took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. If He's there, then you've allowed Him there. You may have done it ignorantly. I did. But the minute you get the revelation of who you are in Christ, you say, you get off my property in the name of Jesus. You get out of my house in the name of Jesus. You get off my property in the name of Jesus. You're a thief. And your rulership is broken. We have, the word of the Lord came initially when Pastor Judy came here and said, the church is in a paralytical state. They're asleep. And they don't know who they are, and they're just letting the devil run roughshod. And he's working through this natural realm through people. And when people will come, when even when you speak what God has said to you, He'll work through people and say, oh, that's crazy. You'll never get that. Yes, I will. Because the word of the Lord says, I will. And so when you receive that word that's not from God, you've just given Him authority to rule in that situation. Amen. And you need to take back what the devil's stolen. And I believe God is stirring the hearts of these people here to wake up, as the Holy Ghost spoke this morning and said, inventions, creations, entrepreneurship. We're not going to work for the company. We're going to own the companies. Because it's His time. It's His time to begin to work through His body to take back what the devil has been operating through in this earth to steal from people. And that when He gets a people that will operate in the wisdom of God, He'll turn it over to them. Because they'll act righteously and justly. And I believe that's what's happening here. So He's been spoiled here in this property. Sickness and disease is not welcome here. Strife is not welcome here. Poverty is not welcome here. It's not welcome. But it's not changing. I said it's not welcome. See, you're thinking it's your words. It's not your words. The power and the authority is in the command. Let's close with this. We're going to have to meditate on this a little more. But Mark 16, before He ascended into heaven, what did He say? And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. In my name shall they cast out devils. In my name they shall speak with new tongues. In my name they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, in my name it shall not harm them. And in my name they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Because the devil's stripped. He's disarmed. He was made an open show of. And we, his body, the body of Christ, will do the same works as Jesus did and greater works than these because he goes to the Father in his name. And he said, it'll get done. And we're going to do it. We're going to have it. We're going to own it. And the things, you know, the things that God has been speaking to me lately, saying, begin to release words to have a jet plane. And I go, oh, well, all right now. Okay. And you go, well, I like that. Not because, see, it's not about having it. It's about what he wants to do so that you can be in your home base and go somewhere and come back in the same day. And you mark my words, it will come to pass if you release the words in faith, he'll make it happen. He'll make it happen and he'll give you the best. He spoke to me recently, said in that place over there that we're going, the mall, he said, you're going to have a television station and a radio station. And he told me that 2-3 years ago, but it's becoming stronger now. And he said, TV station. And I said, yes, sir. See, we don't have to make it happen. He will bring the team of people. He'll bring the resources. He'll bring the money. He'll bring the expertise to do that. What was the word of the Lord to Pastor Sarah? You don't have to do it. All you need to do is say the words that I give you to say. And they will not fall to the ground, but they will work in the realm of the Spirit. And that's what we're doing. We come out on Friday nights when we're moved upon by the Holy Ghost. We all collectively and in unity in the spirit of faith release the words. And it will, the Holy Ghost, think about this, in that atmosphere when we worship and we're worshiping, who's brooding and hovering? The Holy Ghost. He's manifested. He's waiting for what? The command. So as we worship God, the Holy Ghost is present. He's moving. And then the Father said, say this. And it happens. Same process. No different. It's the same process. And I believe we're beginning to see it clear and clear, so that when we consecrate ourselves at the beginning of this year, yeah, it's going to set precedent. What is it going to do? It's going to draw us in so that this mind that was in Christ Jesus will be in us. We won't be disjointed. Amen. That's it for today. That's it for today. Because there's more in my spirit, but just for here, it's enough. You know how you just say, okay, let me push back. I had 3 plates. I'm full. I'm ready to, some say, I'm ready to lay on the floor. It was too much. So you digest it, get the tape, get the CD, get whatever it is. Don't, you know, there's no excuses today. The only excuse is you're lazy. That's the truth, because all the facilities are available. You say, well, I don't have internet access. Okay. Go into the store and get a CD. There are no excuses for you to grow and to be in one accord. Amen. Everybody love me? Amen. You love the word of God. You love what God is saying. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Because it causes you to do what? Rest. Take a deep breath and rest. He's doing the work. We don't have to make it happen. We just have to be obedient to say what He says and release the words, and the Holy Ghost moves at the command from heaven. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. I'm finished for today. Amen. Praise God.